Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 275, Roots and Fruits. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, September 11th, 2022, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious blood of Jesus and for the power of Jesus' name. We just release that power and that presence in this place today and across the airwaves. Thank you, Father, for your word working mightily, and that no weapon formed against us can prosper because our righteousness is of you, and every tongue that's risen against us is already judged because this is our heritage as your servants, Lord. So we praise you, give you glory, honor, and thanks, and we bless your name in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So if you want to know what our Malaysian church will look like, just think about that first song that we worshiped with today. That's what our Malaysian church will look like. Praise the Lord. So exciting to see what God is doing across the nations. We have opportunities in every nation. You know, you sit here in the U.S. of A., you can reach your city, you can reach your neighborhood, you can reach your state, you can reach across the nation. You can preach in California, New York City. You can preach in Miami. You can preach in Nashville. You can preach anywhere your internet will take you. And it's an amazing, amazing day. That's not to replace, you know, personal face-to-face, one-on-one, and group gatherings such as this, there or anywhere else. But we have the opportunity to take the gospel to the ends of the earth like no generation before us. So when we get to heaven, I think Jesus is going to say, so what's your excuse? And I hope we have an answer. But probably whatever answer for our excuses are, it's not going to be a good enough answer. So let's take the opportunities that we have. Use the giftings that God has given us, as Rivka so well expressed earlier this morning before we came on the air. And let's use those giftings and reach the nations with the gospel. There's no reason why we can't reach them. The only thing stopping us is us. Our doubts, our fears, our busyness, our stuff, whatever we put in front of God, those are the things that stop us from doing what Jesus told us to do. He said, go make disciples of all nations. He didn't leave any nation out. So if you don't know what nation is yours, pick one. It says, I think it's Psalm 122 that he gives us nations as our inheritance. It's in verse 1 or 2. He gives us nations for our inheritance. So you've got an inheritance somewhere. You might not just be taking it. And you think, well, I'm just me. Who am I to do that? You know, that's what Isaiah said. When God said, who shall I send? And he said, well, here am I. Send me. Amen. So if you don't ask him to send you, you know, probably you can stay sitting. But it's not an exciting life to stay sitting. You know, you might as well do something. Might as well be counted for Jesus. You might as well take a nation for Jesus. Amen? So you only know one person over there. You know, if you go on Facebook, you can get friends anywhere. I think I have, like, I don't know, 500 or 600 Cuban friends now on Facebook. I didn't ask for them, but they just kept saying, can I be your friend? Can I be your friend? So you can pick up a few friends and nations that way. Praise the Lord. And begin to pray over that nation. Begin to ask God how you can minister to them. Minister to those friends, you know, and you can DM them. You can FaceTime them. You can Zoom them. And just talk about what God is doing in your life. Just give them your testimony. Wasn't that a great testimony this morning about lives changed? Yes. Praise the Lord. Awesome. So you have that opportunity. We have a whole world in front of us, and we still have a little bit of time. So Greg from our Voice of Judah office was in Israel just recently, and maybe you saw some of his posts from the Mount of Olives, about the Mount of Olives. You know, Jesus is going to come back there, and he's going to come back there soon. How soon? We don't know. But whatever time we have until he comes back and plants his foot on that mountain, it'll be an amazing thing. And You know, probably we'll be able to see it on internet, because you can, like today, you can go and you can get a live feed from the temple wall in Jerusalem. You can watch exactly what they're doing at this minute, at this hour. You can see what they're doing there. So if you want to know how some of those prophetic events will be seen by all the nations, by all the world, you know, we've already got the technology that's doing it. What a great, great time to be alive. I guess God thought you were up to it, or he wouldn't have made you be born when you were born. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if you don't use any technology, you still have a mouth. Amen? You can talk to people. You know, what did they used to say? Telephone, television, tell a woman? Or... Okay, I'm in trouble now. I'm meddling. All right, praise the Lord. So you got a mouth, use your mouth, you know. You've got neighbors, find them, you know. There's lots of opportunities to minister the gospel everywhere that you go if you just don't think about yourself and what people think about you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I want to speak to you today about roots and fruits. So we tried to do this last week and didn't get there, so we'll try to do it again this week. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Wickedness never brings stability, but the godly have deep roots." So just think about that for a moment. If you're a godly person and you have God in your life, you have Jesus in your life, you've come to the Father through Jesus, the Bible says that he has reconciled us to God, and he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. So our roots in Jesus, our roots in our faith, come from what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. So never is our ministry about ourselves. Never is our ministry about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. Our ministry is to bring others to him. Amen? That's our ministry. We have a ministry of reconciliation. That means we can bring people to God just like Jesus brought us and presented us to him. And the amazing thing is if you look at that scripture that says that he brought, that he reconciled us to the Father, it says he presented us holy, blameless, and without reproach. Isn't that amazing? Because you think about your life and you think about all the bad stuff you've done, you think about all the mistakes you've made, all the sins you've sinned, and all of that stuff, and to think that Jesus has presented you to God holy, that means set apart, separate, other, different, holy, sanctified, is another word for holy, holy, blameless, that means without blame, that he's not holding anything against you, and without reproach. In other words, there's no shame, no regret, no kind of thing that can hold you down and keep you from going forward, because he's taken it all away and he presented you to the Father as a perfect person. And you think about your life, you think how imperfect it's been, and yet Jesus has presented you to the Father as perfect. It's pretty astounding, but it's the gospel. It's pretty amazing, but it's the gospel. So the only thing that can hold you back is to think about your past, to live in your past, to live underneath your faults, your failures, your weaknesses. But God wants you to step up to the plate, look forward, look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith, the developer of your faith, and to be the person that he's called you to be. Amen. You're not called to be what your friend is. You're not called to be your friend. You're not called to be your favorite preacher. You're not called to copy anybody. You're unique. You're an original. God created you to be who you are. So just use it. Use it for him. Use it for his kingdom. Be chosen and called by him and anointed and appointed by him to bring fruit that remains. So, you know, maybe Rivka had some insecurities about reaching into Malaysia. because she's not been there for many years. She was born there, but she's not been there for many years. And that can put insecurity in you. Will these people accept me? Will they like me? Will they love me? Will they care about what I say? But she's not there to present herself. She's there to present the Jesus she serves. And when she presents the Jesus she serves, then lives are open, homes are open, doors are open, and God does miracles, healings, deliverance, and blessing comes to people. Because it's not about us, it's about Him. And when we present Him and Him crucified to those that we come in contact with, God does miracles. When you talk about Jesus the healer shows up. When you talk about Jesus, the one who is our salvation, salvation shows up. When you talk about Jesus the deliverer shows up. Whatever you preach, whatever you minister, whatever you testify begins to happen around you. So it's not rocket science. It's pretty simple. You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to copy anybody else. You don't have to do it like anybody else. You just have to be you and follow Jesus and listen to the Holy Spirit and begin to do what He's called you to do. Amen? It's a great life to live, I mean, because it takes all the pressure off. You know, sometimes we're just in performance mode. We think we have to do certain things to look right. But it's not about how you look. It's not about what other people think. You know, sometimes people say, well, I know they're thinking this about me. They're probably not even thinking about you. They've got plenty of other things to think about. They're thinking about themselves, you know. They're probably not thinking about anything about you. You know, they're looking at you weird just because they're looking at themselves and thinking how crazy their lives are. And they're waiting for somebody to speak some, you know, bring some light into their life, you know. And you're there and you could bring it into them and you're thinking about, what are they thinking about me? What if I say something that offends them? Well, get over yourself. Amen. Because it's not about you. Go ahead and offend them. You know, if it's offending them for Jesus, it's not an offense. It's just they have a chance to accept or reject you. And if Jesus said, if they reject you, they reject me. So I guess that's my introduction. Praise the Lord. Wickedness never brings stability. But the godly have deep roots. So what's the secret to living for Jesus? The secret to living for Jesus is having deep roots. And if you know anything about trees, you know the roots never stop growing until the tree dies. So if you're going to have roots, you need to keep putting those roots down. Amen? It's something that you have to work on the rest of your life. It's not about being perfect. It's about putting the roots into the place that nourishes you, that feeds you, that brings you to a place in God that puts strength in your life so that when the storms of life come, you don't just blow over. So I was speaking to the Malaysians yesterday. You know, I told them that, you know, it's like when the monsoon storms come, you know, there are heavy winds and they make the trees bend over. The trees that don't have good roots topple. But the trees that have good roots, they stand. They might bend a lot. They might look like they're going to break, but they don't break because they have strength. So something has happened to the roots and something has happened to the upper part to make the whole tree healthy and strong. So to be a healthy and a strong believer, we need to have roots. If you don't have any roots, the first storm of life that comes along, you're out of there. That's why we are intent here at MFH about being strong on discipleship. So sometimes making disciples and having discipleship doesn't look very big because it's not easy all the time. My message to the Malaysians yesterday was raising kids. It's not easy. You know, we've all seen the stories about kids. You know, some are wayward, some are not serving God, some are doing this, some are doing that. It's not easy to raise kids. But God didn't give us the choice not to raise them. He gave us those kids, we have to raise them. Amen? Sometimes we didn't know the things that we needed to know to raise them. But now we know, now we can speak into their lives, and now we can minister into their lives. And don't despair. Kids never get away from mom's prayers. They never get away from dad's prayers. They might think they've escaped. They might think they've gotten out of the house. But kids never escape. But it's the same thing with your spiritual kids. You know, kids are kids. Children are children. Pastor Karen was correcting me yesterday. I shouldn't talk to the Malaysians about kids. They might think I was talking about goats. But we're talking about children, raising spiritual children. Praise the Lord. So listen to this parable of Jesus. You know, Christians have a lot of meetings. You know, people tell us that. You know, why do Christians, if you go somewhere and you're in a country that's not Christian, pretty much Christian, they'll say, you know, we noticed one thing about Christians. They have a lot of meetings. So why do Christians have a lot of meetings? What good do the meetings do? So you should think about that a little bit. Are you here because of the meeting, or are you here because of Jesus? But Jesus told this parable in Mark chapter 4, verses 3 to 9, starting with verse 3. He said, "Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. The other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but soon the plant wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell amongst thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. Verse 8, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said," and look at these next words in verse 9, "anyone with ears should listen and understand." Anyone with ears should listen and understand. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? It's a story about planting seeds. You know, a farmer, everybody knows this. Everybody knows this, right? So I used to have a guy in my cell group, and it wouldn't matter what subject I talked about. About halfway through, he'd say, "I know that. I know that. I know that. I know that." And I got tired of hearing him say, "I know that." I never confronted him on it, but I got tired of hearing him say that. So finally, one day he said to me, he says, "You know, Pastor, I've noticed I've been telling you I know all this stuff." I said, "Yes, you have been saying that a lot." And he said, "Problem is, I don't really have much of it working in my life." So why do we need to hear this? Because we need to get it working in our life. So Jesus said there's different kinds of ground, but he points out the first kind of ground, it sprung up and really quickly, but it didn't stay because it didn't have roots. It died. So if you don't have roots, the future for you is not very bright. You have to have roots if you're going to serve Jesus. So we want to talk about that a little bit. You know, seeds, roots, plant growth, maturity, and the multiplied harvest of grain or fruit. It's all important because you have to have fruits in order to produce, and you have to have roots in order to produce fruits. Amen? So it was really good that Jesus didn't just stop, you know, with that first kind of ground, you know, and he talked about some other kinds of problems you could have. You know, he said the seed fell amongst thorns, grew up, and was choked out. There's a lot of people who start but never finish because things crowd out the Word of God in them. The Word doesn't become rhema to them. It's just something written on the page. And their Bible sits on the coffee table or in a prominent place so people know that they're Christian, but maybe it's not getting into their hearts. Maybe it's not producing the revelation that Tanya was talking about a few minutes ago. But God wants it to be revelation to us. He wants that seed to come up and grow. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be productive and bear fruit that remains. You know, Jesus even said that to his disciples, that he had appointed them to bring fruit that should remain. And then he told them how to do it. He said, "And whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it for you." That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? But you have to get the seed of the word in your heart and get it growing and get it producing and have the roots in order for you to go to him and ask anything and get it. Amen? So yesterday when we were ministering to the Malaysian group, Rivka sowed some word, and the word produced fruit. It produced salvation in a man's life. Isn't that great? So she got to see planting the seed. She got to see the seed grow up, and she got to see some fruit immediately. Isn't that amazing? Don't you wish that would work with your finances? Amen? Well, it can work with your finances because it's the same principle. The principle works with your finances. It works with everything that you do. Amen? It can work with every area of your life if you will let it work, if you will allow it to work. So let the seed of the word get in your heart and begin to produce. So here's the roots part. Where do we need to have roots? I've preached this before, so if you've heard it before, don't just say, I know that. Because I'm going to get on your case today. I'm going to call you out on it if you say, I know that. Roots. Where do we need to get our roots? Roots, number one, in Jesus. Roots, number two, in the Word of God. Roots, number three, roots in the church. If you want to be a healthy believer, you have to have roots in the Word, roots in Jesus, roots in the Word, roots in the church, because that's God's design. That's His plan. So if you're just wandering out there and say, I can be a Christian, I can watch television, I can pray on my own, I can do everything on my own, me, myself, and I, give it a whirl. But your roots will be hurting. And when the storms of life come up, to check to see if you got roots, you may be wishing you had better roots in Jesus, better roots in the Word, better roots in the church. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about roots in Jesus. Where do you find that in the Scripture? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. But look at verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him. So you need to have roots in Jesus in order to be a successful believer, to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. You need to have roots in Him. You need to be rooted in Him. He is the foundation of our faith. Yes, there's lots of other teachings, and yes, there are lots of other principles that you need to know. But if you don't have roots in Jesus, you're finished before you start. Because He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's about Him. And when you get that right, then you can put your roots down and keep them in Him and keep growing and keep maturing in the things of God. It says, as you have received Him, so walk in Him. So receiving Him is just the start. Walking Him is the issue, right? How are you going to walk in Him? By being rooted and built up in Him. Roots means you've got a foundation, you've got something that's going down to get the nutrients, and being built up in Him means you become strong. You become strong and you begin to mature in the things of God. You need roots in Jesus, so you need to keep your relationship with Him fresh. I think that's a problem that believers have. You know, if you've been a Christian for a while, you know, you confess Jesus is your Lord and so forth and so on. But if you don't get your roots in Him, you know, it just gets kind of like dead, dull, and boring. Because, you know, life goes on, you're busy, you have this, you have that, you have distractions of all kinds around you. We live in a really crazy upside-down world that doesn't promote being a believer in Jesus. So you're kind of going cross-grain, you're going up the stream when everybody else is going down the stream. And so, you know, you just let life overwhelm you. And Jesus kind of gets put on the shelf, so to speak. because you're not getting roots in him. You can't stop getting roots in him. You can't quit getting roots in him. You have to get your roots deeper and growing and spreading out. The healthy tree spread has roots that spread, that go deep and that spread wide. Because that tree is going to stand. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're talking about living a successful Christian life as a believer. So you say, well, have you done that perfectly? No, I haven't. Absolutely not. I'm not claiming to have done it perfectly. I've got issues just like everybody else has issues. I have opportunities just like everybody else has opportunities to fail, to not walk with Jesus, to sin, to do other stuff, to be distracted, to let other things distract me and take me off course. But as a believer, you have to determine, I'm going to keep my roots in Jesus and I'm going to keep them growing. I'm going to keep them going down and going wide. Because he is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He is the one that the Word of God points us to and walks us to so that we can walk the walk of faith and not just talk the talk of faith. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So then in verse 8 it says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So what happens to a person who doesn't have roots in Jesus is that they begin to be taken captive by the philosophies in this world. Those philosophies are all around. I mean, they're just, some of them are crazy, and you think, how could anybody believe that stuff? I mean, have you scratched your head lately and said, what are these people thinking? Well, they're not thinking about Jesus for sure. Because if they were thinking about Jesus or were even had a knowledge of Jesus in some of this stuff, they wouldn't be doing the crazy things that they're doing. I mean, imagine people that believe a man can get pregnant. I know I'm just, you know, this is probably not politically correct. But it's just, it's crazy. That you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. But people believe things like that. So you can be taken captive by the elements of the world, and we see it all around us. Amen? Because people that believe things like that have already been taken captive by the things of the world. So what do? Roots in Jesus. Roots deep in Jesus begin to put you in a place where you can grow and begin to mature. So there are many other scriptures that talk about this, and you know, we could go through scripture after scripture after scripture, because the whole New Testament, or the content of the Gospels and the book of Acts, are pointing you to getting roots in Jesus. And then the letters that Paul wrote and others wrote are all about strengthening those roots, lengthening them, letting them go down and letting them go wide. That's what those letters are about. It brought correction to people, brought direction to people. It was all about getting roots. And it was always pointing back to one person, Jesus, the one who went to the cross and paid the price for you. You have to have roots in Jesus. Number two, you have to have roots in the Word of God. In Mark chapter 4 again, this time going to verse 14, Jesus begins to explain the parable that I just read to you at the opening. Verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. So Jesus said the sower went out to sow the seed. Now Jesus is explaining that seed is the word of God. The sower sows the word. Verse 16 says, these are the ones that are sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution rises on account of the word, they immediately fall away. Look at that again. The ones that are sown on rocky ground are the ones who hear the word, receive it with joy, but then they don't have any root. And when persecution comes, or problems come, troubles and problems and persecution comes because of the word, immediately they fall away. You probably know someone like that. Maybe it was you at one time. Somebody spoke the word to you, you received it with joy, you thought you were going to go for Jesus, and then something happened. You got persecution. You know, people didn't like it that you came to Jesus. You had problems and troubles. You know, sometimes Christians are not so good at sharing the gospel, and they say to people, just come to Jesus, everything will be all right. And then that person comes to Jesus, and they found that everything is not all right. Everything got worse. Troubles and problems came. And so they fell away. Maybe you can locate yourself in that. When troubles and problems come, how do you react? How do you respond? What do you do? Well, if you have roots in the Word, you won't be taken out. But this attempt of the devil to steal from you is always aimed at taking the Word out of your life. If you read the other parts of that parable, you'll discover that if you pass this test, there are some others ahead that can take the Word away from your life. So you should study this parable, because Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, I think it's around verse 13 or something, he said, if you don't understand this one, how are you going to understand anything else? So you should study the parable of the sower sows the seed in Mark chapter 4, because it talks about roots and it talks about all the tactics that the devil uses to take the Word of God away from you and what you can do about that. Praise the Lord. So you need roots in Jesus, of course, and you need roots in the Word of God. Actually, it's somewhat the same in terms that Jesus is the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. But the Word, the written Word that becomes the Rhema Word, the revelation Word to you, is the Word that you can use. So a lot of people, they know things about Jesus. They know things about the Word of God. They know things about the gospel. But it's not revelation to them. It's just a story. It's a story about Jesus. It's a story about Peter. It's a story about the book of Acts. It's a story about old prophets and kings and whatever. To them, it's just stories. But until that becomes a revelation in your heart, like Tanya was talking about a little bit ago, until that becomes a revelation in your heart, it won't be useful to you. The only Word of God that's useful to you is the Word that's revelation to you. And when the storms of life come and stress comes and troubles come and problems come, you will be digging down inside of you for that Word. And if you don't have any Word down there, you don't have roots, and the storm will take you out. That's why we keep telling you, meditate in the Word of God. Meditate in Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9, it says you should meditate in the Word day and night. Then you will be prosperous, and then you will have good success. Psalm chapter 1 says that you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Why? Because the Word of God is the nutrients that comes up to you through the roots. So having roots in the Word means the nutrients of the Word of God makes it become revelation to you. But you don't get it just by hearing it once. Have you noticed that? Sometimes you can read a scripture over and over and over, and it doesn't really mean much to you. But then one day, you say, where have I been? Why didn't I see that before? Suddenly, it's become revelation to you. And when it becomes revelation to you, it's useful to you. Because faith arises around the revelation that's in your heart. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But what that means is that faith comes through the revelation of the Word of God inside of you. Faith will come. It always comes. But you have to allow it to be revelation to you. That's getting roots in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So I hope this is not a mystery to you. I'm trying to say this as many ways as I can say it and keep it as simple as I can keep it, because it's not rocket science. And it does take some discipline to do, but you can get roots in Jesus, and you can get roots in the Word. And if you surround yourself with people, which is the next part. If you surround yourself with people of the Word, you will begin to grow in the things of God. Yes. And you will begin to not just be nurtured yourself, you'll begin to nurture others. You'll begin to help others become fruitful and have good roots. Amen? Yes. So if you understand these principles of getting roots in Jesus and roots in the Word of God, and then roots in the church, you'll be able to raise a lot of people. So Sister Rivka has about 20 people or more that are now attached to the cells in Malaysia. That's how it works. I mean, the Word of God attracts people if it's doing something in their lives. So if they're seeing God answer prayers when they fast and pray, they're going to tell somebody. And when they tell somebody, somebody's going to want what they got. And it'll work the same for you. Praise the Lord. You won't have to go hunting for people, but you will find hungry people, people who want what you have. And those people you can disciple, those people you can minister to, those people you can raise up to be even greater than you. That's the goal. The goal isn't that they become like you. The goal is that they become like Jesus. And he's greater than all of us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So roots in the Word, roots in Jesus, roots in the Word, and finally, roots in the church. That's the third area you need to get roots. So where do we get that from in the Bible? Well, let's try Ephesians chapter 3. There's many other places where it talks about this, but I'm just picking one scripture here to talk about roots in the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. This is Paul's prayer for the new believers that he had won to the Lord in the city of Ephesus in Turkey. So he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of the glory, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Just think about that, what he's praying here. He's praying for these people that they be strengthened, that they be strengthened, that they be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner being, or in the inner man sometimes. Some of the translations say in their man. So if you get strong on the inside, guess what? You'll be strong on the outside too. Amen? But you have to build on the inside before you can see it on the outside. But when you build it on the inside, you can be strong on the outside and you can withstand tests and trials and tribulations and problems and troubles and all of those kind of things because you've got roots. So he's praying this for a group of believers. He's not praying this for himself. You can pray this prayer for yourself. It's a good prayer to pray for yourself. But it's a great prayer to pray for others as well, because it's not just about you. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about us together. The Bible says that each of us individually are temples of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's a place for the Holy Spirit to live. So we want to stay healthy and live a life that's pleasing to God because we want his dwelling place to be a nice place to live, right? Does that make sense? The reason we should live for God and be like Jesus is so that the Holy Spirit has a good place to live. So I don't want him to live in some shabby shack somewhere, you know, that's about to collapse the first time the wind comes along. He should live in a place that's pleasing, that's beautiful. Why would the Holy Spirit? Why should the Holy Spirit live in a junky place, in a junked up place that's full of stuff? I'll just think about it for a little bit. But then the Bible also says is that we are like living stones that are built together to be a habitation for the Holy Spirit. So, yes, as an individual, we become the house of God. But the Bible says together we're built together, we're formed together, we're brought together to be a place for the Holy Spirit to live. So it's not just about you, it's not just about me, it's about us living our life together in such a way that the Holy Spirit has a place to have residence. And it should be a beautiful place, shouldn't it? Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus is going to come back for a glorious church without spot and wrinkle? I haven't seen many of those churches yet, and probably this place isn't there yet either, without spot and wrinkle. He's coming back for that kind of a church, that kind of a gathering, that kind of a gathering of believers that are pure and living in holiness and going forward and doing what he told them to do, being obedient to him. Amen? So he's building something. He's in the process of building something. In every generation, he's building his church. The past generation is gone. Whatever they did, it's done. But you're living in this generation, and now you're a living stone that's put together with other believers so that you can bring the presence of God into a place, into a city, into a region, into a state, into a nation. You bring the presence, you usher in the presence of God because you're living stones. You're a living building that he's raising up for him to be glorified, for him to be praised. So it's so important that we not just have roots in Jesus and roots in the Word, because that you may be, you know, a lot of that is on you. It's on your own. That's something that you have to do for you. But the rest of our responsibility lies in having roots in the church, which means that we're a living organization that's going forth, that's designed to bring what Jesus taught us to other people. You know, in Matthew 28, I think it's in Matthew 28 where Jesus is giving the good commission. He said that we should make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Teaching the disciples all the things that he's commanded. So we have a responsibility, not just for ourselves to get it, but we have a responsibility for everybody to get it. Amen? And you can't do that alone. You can't do that sitting on your couch watching television somewhere. You can't do that just me, myself, and I worship God. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you shouldn't have worship time by yourself. You should have worship time, because if you don't worship on your own, you're probably not going to worship here either. You're not going to worship with the family of God if you don't worship God. So you should challenge yourself. I need to worship God. I need to pray in my heavenly language. One of the beautiful things that Rivka's taught to the Malaysian people is they should use their prayer language to be edified and to be built up and to bring glory to God. It's an important part of life. Amen? It's an important part of the believer's life. But then when we come together, we can raise the roof for Jesus, because Jesus is amongst us. The Bible says we're two or three are gathered together, there is he in the midst of them. That's having life in the church. That's having roots in the church. So doing things alone is important. Doing things in groups is important, because it treats the roots and it treats the upper part of the tree. It builds the family and the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So if you're a believer on your own and you just stay home and you just be a believer, you might go to heaven. I don't know for sure if you will, but you might go to heaven that way by never communicating or never fellowshipping with other people. But the Bible teaches that we should fellowship together. We should not forget about fellowshipping together. And it says, especially when you see the day approaching, that means the end times are approaching, you should be in fellowship with believers. You shouldn't neglect fellowshipping together, the Bible says. So why does it say that? It says, so that you may have strength to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So if you don't get together with other believers and do this corporately together, you're not going to know to the fullest the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He says, if it surpasses knowledge, that's beyond our intellect to grasp. You can know the love of God so much that it's beyond understanding. It's beyond your capability to understand. You just know it is. Amen? It just is. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes. But you know that together as a church family. You know that together because you see the love of God in action. You see the love of God demonstrated. You see that people can put away offense and forgive. Now I'll just tell you a little secret. This isn't in my notes, but I'll tell you a little secret to receiving. If you want to be a person who receives from God, you need to be a person who is, first of all, quick to believe. Secondly, quick to forgive. And thirdly, quick to receive. If you're quick to believe what the Word of God says, and sometimes what prophetic words that come, if you're quick to believe and you're quick to forgive others around you for the stuff that they've done, for offenses, for all of that kind of stuff, you're going to receive. Your receiver will be open. Most of the time when people don't receive and things are blocked, it's because they either they don't believe or they don't forgive. They won't forgive. They're holding stuff against people. And it just blocks everything up and they don't receive. So that's a sideline. That's a side note. So roots in Word, roots in Jesus, roots in the Word, roots in the church. Okay, you got that? Everybody say, I know that. All right, so I know it and I'm doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So at MFH, we treat the roots by one-on-one discipleship and in cell groups. That's where you get your roots treated. Amen. That's a place for testimony. That's a place for prayer. That's a place for fellowship. That's a place for deliverance. It's a place for blessing. It's a place for relationships, et cetera, et cetera. Amen? So it's treating the roots. Amen? So you can't get that alone by yourself on the couch in front of the TV. Because Kenneth Copeland may love you, but he's probably not going to come to your house and pray for you. But one of your fellow cell members may do that. Your cell leader might do that. Amen? You can love your television minister, and you should love them. They bring instruction. They bring teaching. We should support that because the world is touched by the gospel that way. But that doesn't replace you and your church family and how they're making disciples. So here at MFH, we do it through one-on-one and through discipleship groups called cell groups. Praise the Lord. So everything that we do here, we want it to feed into making disciples. Why? Because that's what Jesus said to do. Amen? So we don't have a guest speaker just to have a guest speaker. We don't have any kind of a program just to have a program. We have guest speakers to put some kind of deposit, something special that our church family needs so that people can have roots in Jesus, roots in the Word, and roots in the church. Amen? We have some outreaches so that we reach new believers or make new believers, make new disciples. You can't disciple somebody who doesn't become a believer, so it should feed into making disciples. Amen? Does that make sense? So that's why we're not so programmy here. But we are focused on things that make disciples. So, roots in Jesus, roots in the words, roots in the church are nurtured in these 10 areas, at least 10. There's probably more than this, but I picked out 10. I'll just go through 10 areas about roots. The first one is it facilitates accountability. And this isn't necessarily in the order of importance. I'm just giving you 10 aspects of getting roots. Through discipleship, one-on-one, through cell groups, you can facilitate accountability. You can develop unity. It's another important thing. You can create an environment for disciple-making by doing one-on-one and by having groups. You can provide instruction in the Word of God. Every time we get together as a cell, we have the Word of God. Amen? If you're not, you better tell me about your leader. If they're not giving you the Word of God. I don't think we have to worry about that here. But if you're not, they're off track, right? We're always injecting the Word. It's about getting roots in the Word. Number five, it's a place that provides training for assignment. You might not think you're called to anything, but your cell leader knows you're called to something. Yes. Amen? And likely they know what you're called to, because God gives them discernment and gives them information that maybe you don't see. Praise the Lord. Number six, it tests faithfulness. Faithfulness? It tests faithfulness. Jesus said, if you be faithful in the little things, he's going to promote you to big things. So are you going to be faithful? Number seven, it challenges leaders and members to go to the next level for the season that's ahead of them. It gives them a challenge. When we come to cell group, we're challenged by our brothers, by our sisters, by our leaders to come to another level of commitment to God, to know Jesus better, to share the gospel with others, to pray for one another. We come to another level of prayer life. We come to all kinds of new levels of serving Jesus through the cell groups, through the discipleship one-on-one practices that we have. Number eight, it promotes prayer for the work and for each other. So in our cell groups, we pray for each other. Somebody's having a problem, they get prayed for, right? Somebody's struggling with something, they get prayed for. Somebody has some needs, they get prayed for. It's a great place to grow in your prayer life with each other and to have concern for one another, so that when you're outside of the cell group, you're praying for one another. Because you know, my sister, my brother, they have needs, they have this, they have that. I'm praying for them. I'm believing God with them. I'm standing in faith with them. Amen? It's important. Because we're not here just to live our own life. We're here to live for each other. Number nine, build relationships. You know, it's nice to come to church on Sunday morning, to Sunday service, but you get to fellowship with the back of somebody's head. And that's about as good as it gets, unless you hang around after the service or you get here early and before the prayer meeting. Amen? So, yeah, so there's an element of fellowship, you know, in the Sunday service. You know, we can say hi to each other, greet one another, love one another, hug one another, but then we're on to other things. Amen? But in the cell group, we get to actually build relationships with each other. We begin to get to know each other in a deeper way, in a meaningful way, in a way that helps us to grow, in a way that helps us to understand the needs, the desires, and the blessing of others. Amen? Praise the Lord. And finally, the tenth thing is to provide healthy fellowship. Just, you know, people need to get together. We need each other. The worst thing about COVID wasn't the disease so much as it was people were separated. People were isolated. People were kept in their basements, including some people high up. It's not good for you. It's not healthy. It's not a healthy way to live. So cell groups and discipleship provide a place for healthy fellowship. So those are 10 ways that we build roots here at MFH. So healthy roots provide stability, nutrients, and vital water to the plant. So that's what you're developing when you're entering into a system that facilitates that. When you're entering into a plan and a strategy that helps you to do that. Insufficient rooting leaves the plant susceptible to storm damage and premature death. So if you don't have roots, it not be well with you. Serving God takes sacrifice. It takes commitment. It takes faithfulness. And healthy roots are required in order for that to happen. The upper part of the tree is treated also here at MFH through the Sunday services and the special meetings. So it would be a shame to have good roots and then neglect the rest of the tree, right? So we've got some trees out here in back of the house. some magnolia trees. They're very beautiful in the spring. You know, they have thousands of white blossoms. I mean, it looks like your tree just got snowed, you know. Beautiful, beautiful tree. But one year, we got some thing called scale. Maybe you've heard of it. It's a disease that attracts, it's a parasite that attacks trees. And it, you know, the branches, it got white spots on it. And then it started oozing this gooey, nasty stuff. And then the leaves started shriveling up. And, you know, the trees started dying, actually. And dead branches were falling off and whatever. So we called the tree service that treats trees and whatever. And he says, yep, that's scale. We need to treat it. So they did some things in the ground. They did some things in the trunk. And they sprayed the tree, trying all kinds of things to kill this scale. Why? Because you need to keep the upper part healthy. If the upper part healthy, the tree is not healthy, the tree dies. Amen? So as a believer, you have roots, but you need the upper part to be healthy as well. So that's what the Sunday services and the special services are about, to keep the upper part of the tree healthy. Why do we want you to come to Sunday service? Because we want you to be a healthy tree. We want you to be a tree that produces fruit. If the tree is shriveling up and dying, it's not going to produce good fruit. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 3 says, this is talking to the people of Israel. It says, you shall tear down their altars because they're going into a land where there's ungodliness and unbelief and idol worship. You shall tear down their idols and dash in pieces their altars and burn their asherim with fire. So they're supposed to get rid of all the idolatry in the land. You shall chop down the carved images of their gods and destroy their name out of that place. And you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. So in other words, the examples that they saw in front of them by the unbelieving nations, they should do away with and get rid of and should not worship God like these people worship God. So here in America now, we're surrounded by witchcraft. We're surrounded by idol worship. We're surrounded by all kinds of Eastern religions and things that have come into our nation. So the Bible says we shouldn't worship God that way. So a little bit ago, Rivka was talking about them burning incense and bringing offerings to their gods, like they do in Malaysia and other Asian countries. It's idol worship. And God says, don't worship God that way. But you should worship God in a different way. You should ask, well, how should we worship God? Verse 5 says, you shall seek the place that the Lord your God will choose out of all your tribes to put his name and make his habitation there. There you shall go, and there you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and the contribution that you present, your vow offerings, your free will offerings, the firstborn of your herd of your flock. There you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your households, in all that you undertake in the place where the Lord your God has blessed you. So can you see from that that that's not talking about having church with you, yourself, just you alone in front of a TV set or in your living room, in your family room, in your bedroom? That's having a place where the family of God gets together. Because God says that that's how we should worship him. It's treating the upper part of the tree. Great to have good roots, but we need to have a healthy tree. The healthy tree comes when we come together as a corporate body. And then the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit can manifest. Different giftings can be presented. Different things can be addressed in the services that might not happen in your one-on-one time with God. You can get freedom in some areas that you maybe didn't even see you had in yourself. Lots of things can happen in the corporate service because you're treating the upper part of the tree. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, prospers. So that's talking about the upper part of the tree being treated, being good, having roots, but also bearing fruits. Roots and fruits come from a healthy tree. So you have to treat both. So one is treated in some things that we do in the church, another is treated in other things that we do in the church. So we're not asking, we're not saying, well, just come to cell group, you're okay. We're not saying, just come to Sunday service, you're okay. We're saying, make a strong tree. Do everything that God is asking you to do, and do it to your best and be faithful to it. Praise the Lord. So the upper part of the tree is where the giftings, the ministries, and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the believers. That's where the prophetic things can happen. It can happen also in cell groups, but primarily happens in services like these. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, what brothers, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 14, 26 says, what brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. It says, when you come together, everybody say together. So coming together is not you, just you. Coming together is coming together with believers. Amen? So if you want to see a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation, come together and let God move amongst you so that it can happen. It's the upper part of the tree manifesting the grace of God and the blessing of God. So what do we take away from this? I want to just end it with this scripture from John chapter 15. Jesus says in verse 1, John 15, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they produce even more. So this is a place where a lot of believers stop. They say, oh my God, I don't want to be cut off. Well, then do what's right. Do what God is calling you to do if you don't want to be cut off. Do the things that are going to lead to bearing fruit. You say, well, I don't want to be pruned either. That's painful. Welcome to the club. God is good for us. What he wants to trim off and cut off needs to be trimmed and cut off. Amen? So we all got some places that need some pruning. That happens when we come together. It happens when we tend to the roots and tend to the fruits. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 3. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. But verse 4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. So which comes first? Him remaining in you or you remaining in him? Jesus said that you have to remain in him first, right? And then he will remain in you. You know why that is? Because he gave you a free will. You can do whatever you want. You don't ever have to come back to church. You don't ever have to attend a cell group. You don't ever have to pray. You don't ever have to get the word of God. You don't even have to ever believe in Jesus. You can do whatever you want because he's not going to make you. My pastor used to say, heaven doesn't have the doorknob on just one side of the gate. He said, if you want to leave heaven, you'll be able to leave heaven. It's not a prison. He's not going to lock you in. You'll have to want to stay there. Now you can think, well, who would ever want to leave? It's a good question. Who would? But you can apply the same thing to your life here on earth and your walk with God. And your walk and work in the church, you can say, well, who would ever leave that? But a lot of people do. Because it's not a prison. Nobody can make you want to pray. Nobody can make you want to get in the Word. Nobody can make you want to come to the service. Nobody can make you want to be part of a cell or be discipled. It's your choice. It's a decision. And it's a choice, and it's walking it through. So then he says, you've been pruned because of the message, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. The only way to be fruitful is to remain in Jesus. Amen? That's the first thing we said, roots in Jesus. Amen? Verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Did you notice it doesn't say, well, maybe get fruit? It says you're going to get fruit. You're going to have fruit in your life if you're remaining in him. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered in a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, look at this next part. You may ask anything you want. Everybody say anything I want. I know you don't even believe that, do you?
Yes.
You believe that? You can ask him anything you want? Okay, you can ask it. But do you expect to get it?
Yes. You have to have wisdom in what you're asking.
But he said, ask anything you want, and he'll do it for you. You maybe need to be careful what you ask for. You just might get... Okay, I'm talking to the single ladies for a minute. You just might get that man you want. And then you get him home and you find out, why did I ask for that one? Just saying. Be careful what you ask for. Make sure you know what you're asking. He says, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. That's the promise of Jesus. You want your husband to be saved, your wife to be saved, your children to be saved? Ask him. He'll grant it for you. Amen? You want to have good relationships? Ask him. He'll give them to you. You want to have your financial needs met? Ask him. He'll give it to you. You want to have your life turn around? Ask him. He'll give it to you. But it requires you remaining in him and him remaining in you. So there's a requirement to it. But if you're doing that and you're honest about that, you can ask whatever you want and get it because he promised it. Amen? Because if he lied about that, there's a lot of other lies in the Bible. Amen? Verse 8. When you produce much fruit, you are my disciples. So, you know, your pastor, your leaders, they can be looking for fruit. But there's somebody a lot more important than your pastor or your leaders that's looking for fruit. It's him. He said, when you produce much fruit, then you're really my disciples. So our goal as believers, followers of Jesus, those who are being changed by Jesus, those who are on mission with Jesus, our goal should be to produce fruit. And we want that fruit to stay. Amen. We want it to be good fruit. And look what that does. This brings great glory to my Father. You want to make God happy? You want to make Jesus happy? You want to make Holy Spirit happy? Remain in him and let him remain in you. And bring a lot of fruit. So, just one last thing. There's some apple trees out there in the field. And, you know, this is kind of the time of apples. Have you ever seen an apple tree grunt and groan to produce the apple and carry on a commotion to produce the apple? There's a pear tree out in the corner here. I've never heard it kind of going through commotion to produce fruit. So why as believers do we act like we've got to be the one who's making the fruit when it's God that's making the fruit? He's just asking for you to stay in him and let him stay in you. And when you do that, the natural product will be good fruit. Does that make sense? You don't have to try to make good fruit. All you have to do is remain in him and let him remain in you. And then good fruit will come. It's a great way to live. It's a great thing to aspire to, isn't it? So Lord, perfect us in that, in remaining in you. Perfect us in allowing you to remain in us. And Lord, we thank you for bringing fruit from that. We're grateful to you and thankful that you would even consider us as the family of God, as your brothers and sisters, to have such kind of fruit. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, let all that we do, all that we say, all that we work, Lord, let it bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.